A spy from the Upworld, said the Lord Ratspeaker. Hey, I should slit you from gullet to gizzard and tell fortunes with your guts.
Look, said Richard, his back against the wall, with the glass dagger pressed against his Adam's apple. I think you're making a bit of a mistake here. My name is Richard Mayhew. I can prove who I am. I've got my library cards, credit cards, things, he added desperately.
At the opposite end of the hall, Richard noticed, with the dispassionate clarity that comes when a lunatic is about to slit your throat with a piece of broken glass, people were throwing themselves to the ground, bowing low, and remaining on the floor. A small, black shape was coming toward them along the ground.
I think a moment's reflection might prove that we're all being very silly, said Richard.
He had no idea what the words meant, just that they were coming out of his mouth, and that as long as he was talking, he was not dead.
Now, why don't you put that away? And excuse me, that's my bag!
This last to a thin, bedraggled girl in her late teens, who had taken Richard's bag and was roughly tipping his possessions out onto the ground. The people in the hall continued to bow, and to stay bowed, as the small shape came closer. It reached the group of people around Richard, although not a one of them noticed it. They were all looking at Richard. It was a rat, which looked up at Richard curiously. He had the bizarre and momentary impression that it winked one of its little black oil drop eyes at him. Then it chittered loudly. The man with the glass dagger threw himself on his knees. So did the people gathered around them. So too, after a moment's hesitation and a little more awkwardly, did the homeless man, the one they had called Iliaster. In a moment, Richard was the only one standing. The thin girl tugged at his elbow, and he, too, went down on one knee. Lord Ratspeaker bowed so low his long hair brushed the ground, and he chittered back at the rat, wrinkling his nose, showing his teeth, squeaking and hissing for all the world like an enormous rat himself.
"Look, can anybody tell me?" muttered Richard.
"Quiet!" said the girl.
The rat stepped, a little disdainfully, it seemed, into the Lord Ratspeaker's grubby hand, and the man held it, respectfully, up in front of Richard's face. It waved its tail languidly as it inspected Richard's features.
"This is Master Longtail of the Clan Grey," said the Lord Ratspeaker. "He says you look exceeding familiar. He wants to know if he's met you afore."
Richard looked at the rat. The rat looked at Richard.
"I suppose it's possible," he admitted. "He says he was discharging an obligation to the Marquis de Carabas."
Richard stared at the animal more closely.
"It's that rat? Oh, yes, we've met. Actually, I threw the TV remote control at it."
Some of the people standing round looked shocked. The thin girl actually squeaked. Richard hardly noticed them. At least something was familiar in this madness.
"Hello, Ratty," he said. "Good to see you again. Do you know where Dor is?"
"Ratty,"
said the girl, in something between a squeak and a horrified swallow. She had a large, water-stained red button pinned to her ragged clothes, of the sort that comes attached to birthday cards. It said, in yellow letters, "I am 11. Lord Ratspeaker waved his glass dagger admonishingly at Richard.
"You must not address Master Longtail, save through me," he said.
The rat squeaked an order. The man's face fell.
"Him?"
he said, looking at Richard disdainfully.
"Look, I can't spare a soul. How about if I simply slice his throat and send him down to the sewer folk?"
The rat chittered once more, decisively, and then leapt from the man's shoulder onto the ground and vanished into one of the many holes that lined the walls. The Lord Ratspeaker stood up. 100 eyes were fixed on him. He turned back to the hall and looked at his subjects crouched beside their greasy fires.
"I don't know what you lot are all looking at," he shouted. "Who's turning the spits, hey? You want the grub to burn? There's nothing to see. Go on, get away with the lot of you."
Richard stood up nervously. His left leg had gone numb, and he rubbed life into it as it prickled with pins and needles.
Lord Ratspeaker looked at Iliaster. "He's got to be taken to the market. Master Longtail's orders."
Iliaster shook his head and spat onto the ground.
"Well, I'm not taking him," he said. "More than my life's worth, that journey. You Ratspeakers have always been good to me, but I can't go back there. You know that."
The Lord Ratspeaker nodded. He put his dagger away in the furs of his robe. Then he smiled at Richard with yellow teeth.
"You don't know how lucky you were just then," he said.
Yes, I do," said Richard. "I really do."
"No," said the man. "You don't. You really don't."
And he shook his head and said to himself, marvelling,
"Ratty."
The Lord Ratspeaker took Iliaster by the arm, and the two of them walked a little way out of earshot and began to talk, darting looks back at Richard as they did so. The thin girl was gulping down one of Richard's bananas. In what was, Richard reflected, the least erotic display of banana eating he had ever seen.
"You know, that was going to be my breakfast," said Richard.
She looked up at him guiltily.
"My name's Richard. What's yours?"
The girl, who, he realized, had already managed to eat most of the fruit that Richard had brought with him, swallowed the last of the banana and hesitated. Then she half smiled and said something that sounded a lot like anesthesia.
"I was hungry," she said.
"Well, so am I," he told her.
She glanced at the little fires across the room. Then she looked back at Richard. She smiled again.
"Do you like cat?"
she said.
"Yes," said Richard. "I quite like cats."
Anesthesia looked relieved.
"Thigh?" she asked. "Or breast?"